2005年度第1回実用英語技能検定1級2次試験面接。
1. What role should the United Nations play in international politics? Recently, there are many criticisms made about the UN. One argument is that although the UN has become very large and expensive, it is actually ineffective. When tragedy strikes, such as the huge Asian tsunami, just before the new year in 2004, the UN is powerless to act. It has no standing peacekeeping force or team of aid workers, and so must rely on finding countries to contribute troops or aid for particular missions. For this reason, it is often said that the UN has no teeth. Another argument is that the UN does not represent the interests of the global community, but is a club for the stronger nations. The USA contributes to much of the UN's funding, and it has a veto, so it has a disproportionate amount of power compared to other members. All this has led to calls to reform the organization. Following the divisions created by the invasion of Iraq, I am undecided whether or not the UN should continue to take political decisions at all. However, I certainly believe that the UN should be given more power to provide humanitarian relief for natural and man-made disasters.
2. Do the rich have a responsibility to help the poor in society? It seems to me that the way this question is phrased lays all the responsibility at the feet of rich people. I'm not sure that this is entirely fair. I would rather say that society has a responsibility to help its own poor. Currently, most societies, or at least the democratic ones, attempt to do this by taxing people with higher incomes more than others. The money generated this way can be redistributed so that it creates a safety net for those who need it most. This seems to me to be a fair system. When asking if the rich should help the poor, I believe there are two key issues. The first is that the rich should be allowed to enjoy their wealth. If they have worked hard for their money, then they should not be penalized for that and have their money taken away from them. The second is that the poor should never be rewarded for being lazy. It is good that those who are truly needy or sick are supported by a fair society, but I don't think that anyone should feel they have a right to be supported by the state.
3. Is tradition always worth preserving? Traditions come in many shapes and forms, and not all of them are good. Many old traditions that were acceptable in previous centuries are no longer acceptable today. For example, take the practice of female circumcision on young girls in certain African cultures. This has been widely condemned, and most agree that this is one tradition that is not worth preserving. Another might be the practice of polygamy. This was a Mormon tradition, but in modern America, many now consider it immoral. And so it has been banned in the state of Utah, as it has been throughout the United States. However, we can also agree that some traditions are worth preserving. I particularly value the Japanese custom of visiting our ancestors' graves every August in the holiday we call Obon. At this time, people often return to the town or countryside where they come from. This means it's a time when the family comes together. And also, whole villages hold festivals with music and dancing. As it is a community gathering, we meet old acquaintances and also remember something of our roots and our identity. I think these traditions, which are celebrations of family and culture, are the kind which are worth preserving.
4. Should students be asked to evaluate their teachers? I feel strongly that students should evaluate their teachers regularly, but I think that it has to be done in a way that is positive and constructive. I would suggest several guidelines to make this possible. Firstly, I think the questions posed to students should be specific and non-threatening. For example, do they understand the learning goals of each class? Can they read the teacher's writing on the board? Is the teacher's voice loud enough? And so on. Secondly, I think teachers should be able to see the evaluations given to them by their students, and then given an opportunity to discuss them with a superior or a colleague, so that they can change their teaching style if that is necessary. Thirdly, I feel that these evaluations should form only one part of how teachers are viewed by their schools. Teachers may bring many advantages to a school in terms of sports, research, personality, discipline, and especially in the grades their students receive at the end of the year. All these factors need to be put into perspective, and students' evaluations should never be the be-all and end-all of a teacher's career.
5. Honesty is the best policy in all situations. I am a strong believer in honesty. I think that if I were to tell lies often, the people around me would slowly begin to recognize that fact. The truth would come out over time, or else I would inadvertently say something at a later date which contradicted what I had said at an earlier date. And so, people would gradually build up a picture of me as being untrustworthy or dishonest. Generally, I feel that whatever benefit is attained by telling lies in the short term is soon countered by the loss of respect and friendship of those around us in the long term. On the other hand, circumstances exist when honesty has to be tempered with diplomacy. This means that there are some occasions when the plain truth might be damaging to the person who hears it. Let's take the example of a child who is struggling with schoolwork. They may benefit more from encouraging words rather than a true assessment of their work. Or a sick patient who is suffering, and who may need hope rather than despair. In such cases, the act of deceiving someone may actually be the most virtuous course of action.